the chair. I mean, that's really a Shabbos for you. And other such interpretations. On the other hand, when it came to each his own, when it came to certain laws regarding marriage, regarding physical relations, etc., they were much more lenient. They discarded all the rules, all the prohibitions that the rabbis had constructed to try and protect the Jewish home. They discarded them all. They only said, we only want to do the minimum that the Torah requires. So it became a very difficult religion to deal with, because on one hand it was stricter than Rabbinic Judaism, and on the other hand, in many important areas, it was far more lenient. And this religion of the Karoim, and also to make it appeal to the populace, Onan adopted certain Muslim nuances in terms of dress, in terms of language. This is the period of time when the Jews stopped speaking Aramaic, which was their traditional language in Babylonia. And the Jews had spoken Aramaic for, 1,200 years, 1,300 years. And they started speaking Arabic. Arabic became the language. Arabic became the language to such an extent that we'll see a century later, when Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon sets out to destroy the Karoim, which he practically did, in his polemics and in his books. All of his books are written in Arabic. Well, the Karoim at its height probably had over 500,000 Jews. They spread, they were very, the first 50 years they went like gangbusters. Anything new in Judaism goes like gangbusters for 50 years. But most, if not all, of the new ideas in Judaism do not stand the test of time. What happens is, what happened to most of the Karoim is that they converted and became Muslims. They just, it became a conduit out of the Jewish people. Just as unfortunately in the 18th century and the 19th century, we'll see that other types of schisms in the Western world of Judaism also became little more than a conduit to get it to leave. There are today approximately 300 Karaite families left. All of them are in Israel. In Eastern Europe, there were Karaite villages in Eastern Europe that remained, that, you know, throughout the exile. They were very small in number, but they did remain. But Hitler voted that they were Jewish. But there are about 300 Karaite families left today. They're in the city of Chulon in Israel and in one or two other villages. And they are treated as Jews, because we'll see after the time of Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, they were the rabbis, the halacha, decided that they were to be treated as Jews. But they never again posed a threat to Rabbinic Judaism. They remained only as an anachronism, just as the Samaritans, the Shomronim, remain today. Approximately 100 families left from what was also once a very, very large and populous group of people who had a strong influence upon Judaism. Today they're only tourist attractions. So Onan, with the formation of the Karaite movement, that's a very important thing to remember, because it will shape the attitude of the Gaonim, the attitude of the Jewish people towards its own internal struggle. Second thing that happened was that we have for the first time the beginning of the literature of what we can call the books of the mitzvos, books that count the number of mitzvos, that, and we have a tradition that there are 613 commandments.